ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यारे देखे तारे कहे कहो कृष्ण नाम, यारे देखे तारे कहे कह कृष्ण नाम, ए मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम, ए मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम। यारे देखे तारे कहे कह कृष्ण नाम, ए मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम। यारे देखे तारे कहे कह कृष्ण नाम, यही मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम। यारे देखे तारे कहे कह कृष्ण नाम, हे मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम। यारे देखे तारे कहे कह कृष्ण नाम, हे मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम। यारे देखे तारे कहे कह कृष्ण नाम, हे मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम। यारे देखे तारे कहे कह कृष्ण नाम, हे मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम। लेडीज, यारे देखे तारे कहे कह कृष्ण नाम, यही मत वैष्णव कैला सब निज ग्राम। यारे देखे हुमेवर ही मीट्स तारे टू हिम कह ही सेस कह कृष्ण नाम, काइंडली चैंट हरे कृष्ण मंत्र ए मता इन दिस वे वैष्णव डिओटीज ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड कैला मेड सब ऑल निज ग्राम हिज ओन विलेज। ट्रांसलेशन प्रोवाइडेड बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। सच एन एम्पावर्ड पर्सन वुड रिक्वेस्ट एवरी वन एंड एनी वन whomever he saw to chant the holy name of Krishna. In this way, all the villagers would also become devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In order to become an empowered preacher, one must be favored by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his devotee, the spiritual master. One must also request everyone to chant the Mahamantra. In this way, such a person can convert others to Vaishnavism, showing them how to become pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Tibirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतम सावधूतम परिजना सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते ताप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि प्रिय वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा So today is considered by Bhadandas Thakur as the most important day of the entire year. So we are all here to celebrate our good fortune. The good fortune created by the waxing moon. And today morning, all of us who came to Bangalarti were blessed by that same moon. It is the same moon which was there at Mahaprabhu's time also. It is not a different moon. The same moon was shining on 18th February 1484, that auspicious day when the pravaha, Bhagavat pravaha is going on. So, the pravaha of the incessant flow of the destructive elements created by time factor was changed by no one other than the person who himself controls time. So today is a day when we will all spend in chanting, in praying, in fasting, and more than anything else, in gratefully remembering what is the Lord's mission? What is the Lord's purpose of coming in this world? How did He establish? How does His associates converge at His lotus feet and assist Him to establish what was never brought to this world for millions of years? And last but not the least, we'll also meditate on how we can align our lives, or otherwise wasteful lives, in the wilderness of material world, chasing for millions of lifetimes the mirage of so-called pleasure. How we can align our lives with the mission the Lord has mercifully brought to this planet. So today can be a very auspicious day where we can again reinforce our understanding of the glory of the descent of Avatara Shiromani. The Lord's Avatar is not necessarily a very rare event, because as the Lord said, He comes in every yuga. That doesn't seem to be something which is very rare, though of course very important. And yet, the scriptures have carefully chosen to not reveal this avatar. Even the greatest of scholars, knowers of truth, have not been able to discern this particular event. Even Gopinath Acharya spoke to Saranam Bhattacharya that this person who is staying in your house is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do you even understand this? Who is staying as the guest in your house? So Bhattacharya was not willing to get convinced. Now who is Bhattacharya? He is Brihaspati incarnate. And he is the topmost scholar on the planet at the time. And sannyasis learned the science of spirituality at his lotus feet, even though he was a grihastha. And he declined to believe that this is the Lord. And he had reasons. He knew everything which was there in the scriptures. So it is a proof that the Lord's scheme of events to keep his descent hidden was successful. Because nobody could glean through the scriptures and understand a very special person is going to come. Why would the Lord want to keep his descent hidden? So difficult. How about can you occlude the sun? Who has the power to occlude the sun? Not even for one hour. In the densest of clouds, cannot do that. And the Lord coming in this world, how would the Lord be able to cover himself? And why would he do that? The special reason Srila Prabhupada explains why this was necessary, that this incarnation was going to do something extremely different than what was done in previous incarnations. In previous incarnations, the Lord had more or less like a standard profile. Of course, the Lord is Swatantra. He has no job profile or a JD, what they call. Because he is Swatantra. And yet the Lord takes upon himself, Praritaranaya Sadhuna Vinashadushkrutam Dharma Samsnarpanarthaya. He takes upon himself to do these three very holy functions when he comes to this world and bring peace, prosperity and dharma in this world. But this was going to be this incarnation's secondary purpose. It wasn't going to be his primary purpose. What they call as the external internal reasons of the Lord's descent. He was going to show in Kali Yuga what it means to live like a devotee of Krishna. It has never been shown. The Mandabuddhi of Kali Yuga necessitates that there are role models created. Don't speak, show me how you do it. That's a buzzword of Kali Yuga. Just show it to me. Act, don't speak. So the Lord has hardly spoken. Only 8 verses. He didn't speak anything. Of course, he spoke a lot, but in the sense, in terms of teachings, only 8 verses and finish. How many scriptures acharyas have written? Volumes and volumes and volumes. And the Lord himself, only 8 verses, that's all. So he was not here to really speak anything so much as to show how to think, how to speak, how to live, how to act, how to exist in this world on the topmost platform of a surrendered devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anarpita charyam chirat karunaya avtirna kalau. 4.3 billion years is not a short time. By any calculation of any historian, any archaeologist, any cosmic explorer, any astronaut, this is a huge time in cosmic time. 4.3 billion years, one day, and then equally. So 8.6 billion years is a long, 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 long time. Something which human mind cannot even fathom. We can't fathom what happened, you know, before Shivaji Maharaj practically. It looks like distant for us. And yet, this is how rare this event is. So for many years, We won't talk about the Lord's descent now so much because that's for the evening. We talk about that usually in the evening at sunrise time. So when the Lord comes in this world, for many years after coming to the world also, he keeps the doors of his identity closed. And he only sparks off his identity in a private way at some times to some people. And the first time actually he really shows the power of his mercy. Chaitanya means force. And Chaitanya means really the force of consciousness. Right? It is a force. When we're talking about a person's force, what is the force of the Lord? When Ganga was coming down to this planet, she's saying, I am so forceful. If you don't hold me, then I will cut through the planet Earth. That is Ganga's force. That is coming from us, from the Lord's lotus feet, that little bit of water. That is the force of Ganga coming from the tip of his toe. What is the Lord's force? But he revealed a small spark of his splendor when he delivered for the first time a small baby puppy. In a perverted way, of course, I was thinking that, you know, usually when biologists, they experiment something, they try it on animals first. And then phase two, phase three trials are taking place on in human beings, and then post-marketing surveillance is done, and the drug is established and then marketed by MNCs and all that. So in one sense, the Lord also, this is a perverted example, so don't. The Lord also showed the power of something which made demigods aghast. Yamraj and the demigods who were seeing this event, they couldn't believe their ears. They couldn't believe their eyes. A small puppy, dog. Now, dog's life. People may like dogs in the West, and now in the East also. That's another thing. And we respect the dogs because they are as good as any other Jivatma. Yet the scripture doesn't seem to give them a big position. So that's one thing. Yet, some soul in that species to be getting a chartered plane coming from Vaikuntha, specifically coming down with attendants, Nanda Sunanda, and taking the puppy in the cell, same body, back to the spiritual world of Golok Vrindavan, is something which nobody, the demigods live for a long time, right? Demigods don't live like us for 50, 60, 100 years. They live for like ages and ages and ages. They don't practically die. They're almost Amara. They hadn't seen something like this before. Because this is totally contrary to the laws of karma. How could somebody who has a karma of becoming a dog go to Vaikuntha without no sadhana, no chanting, no diksha, no regulative principles, no nirjala ekadashis, nothing. Nothing, literally nothing. What does he deserve to get love of God? And as it said, dear Vaishnava, this dog became a Vaishnava dog. Kaila Sabha Nija Gram, when he was empowered by the Lord, he raised his hands, not hand, what is it called? Paws. They don't have hands, they have paws. And he started walking through the streets of Navadvip, chanting loudly the Hare Krishna mantra and leading Sankirtan. And people who are looking at this, they started following. He became like a Sankirtan leader. And people started following him because he was now no longer a dog. He was a Mahabhagavat Vaishnav. A fully purified Jivatma was empowered by the most powerful person in the creation to disseminate Nama to people of this world. That means anyone could be qualified to do this. That means anybody, and it says here everybody in this verse, would by this one sample example of a prototype which is done before a big building is made. You made a prototype building, a small model. This was to show the world, this is what I am going to do to the world. And the puppy is an extremely powerful example to show us that. And yet, as we said, he kept his revelations very private. Nimai is now a little older, still a little, very small, not even reached his 5 years, Pogonda age. And a wandering Brahman comes to his house, Upadhyaya Brahman. Somebody who had also been there in the Lord's Leela as in Nandagaon. Wandering comes to his house, offers bhoga to his Gopal deity, chants a Gopal mantra, and the Lord comes there, dressed in the 10 directions. How sweet. Digambar Avastha. He comes there and he starts eating that rice. And the Brahman goes berserk. Hi, hi! This child has stolen my offering. And such a sweet thing happens thereafter. The same Yashoda who was running behind Krishna, this time it is Nanda Maharaj's time. So he got to Nanda Maharaj in the form of Jagannath Mishra, going to run with the same stick. He said, come on, I'm going to beat you up. What? You are a Brahmin son. Do you know what you're doing? Can you eat offering this meant for the Lord? Are you not trained properly by me? Like, it's an insult to me that you're in a Brahmin's house and this is happening to such an exalted person coming to our house. Anyway, I need to be pacified. The Brahmin said, relax, relax, don't worry. Small child doesn't know what is good and bad, right and wrong. He needs to be forgiven. He said, please, please, cook again. And he cooks again. And again, bows down, takes the bell, starts singing this Gopal mantra. Again the child comes, starts eating. How the Lord must have enjoyed eating that rice? Huh? You know? He should have got scared of his father, right? I'll get a big beating this time. I just narrowly escaped my father. But the Lord not bothered about that stick. He wants to reciprocate. That is bhakti. The Lord hankers. Like we hanker for things of this world, right? We hanker. Our constant symptom of this world is hankering, lamenting. Hankering, lamenting. Sochitir kangshati, sochitir kangshati. Like the pendulum goes like this of the old clocks. Hankering, lamentation. That's the only thing which we keep on doing for the rest of our life, for millions of lifetimes. The Lord is like us. Or rather, we like the Lord. Other way around. He also hankers. But what is his hankering? His hankering is to constantly reciprocate loving pastimes with his dear devotees. And he cannot resist. Like we cannot resist doing sense gratification. You find it so difficult to resist sense gratification. How can I resist sense gratification? The Lord senses also want to get gratified in exchanging love with his dear devotees. He starts eating that rice. The rice is extremely powerful thing for him. Imbued with that love of his pure devotee. He cannot resist. He wants to eat that. He said, hi, hi. Again he has done this. What's going on here? Again he comes. Now he's locked up in a door. Locked up. Right? And then Nagarjuna says, now nothing will happen. Don't worry. He said, now give me some fruits and roots. It is my destiny not to eat anything today. So he keeps on declining and then Vishwarup comes in. You know the story. He said, cook again. Right? And then when he makes his offering, the Lord, in Krishna Leela, in Gaur Leela, the Lord uses mystic power not to exhibit something powerful like Trivikram does to show his power of gigantic shape-shaking shakti of going, touching the heavens practically and covering all the planets with his lotus feet. The Lord in Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela doesn't use his Shakti for anything to show power. It is very subservient to his sweetness. So now he sends Nidra Devi. And everyone is sleeping. Everyone is fast asleep. He doesn't send Nidra Devi actually. Nidra Devi comes of her own. She understands. She doesn't have to be deputed. She actually knows that this is the Lord's Leela. Just by his Leela Shakti. And Leela Shakti is one of the Lord's very special Shakti. She comes and does all the arrangements for the Lord's pleasure. She puts everybody to sleep. And again now the bell is ringing. Gopal mantra, right? And the Lord comes in. Said, why are you shouting when I come? You are calling me. And I cannot resist your call. When a devotee calls with love, the Lord cannot resist. That's all that is required to call the Lord. The helpless child cry, like Draupadi's cry. A Prabhupada said, child crying for mother. Or like Prabhupada's cry at Jaladuta. That poem was not written with paper and pen. That poem was written with his tears. His tears of compassion were writing that poetry. And how can the Lord not empower Prabhupada? It is a call, a cry for the fallen souls. The same cry which the Lord had already experienced in Sri Advaita Acharya. It is the same cry, the same tears from the eyes of Sri Advaita. For the same purpose. Sri Prabhupada was empowered by the same mood of compassion like Sri Advaita Acharya. And the Lord came in, said, you are calling me and I'm coming. And now the Lord is very pleased. The Lord is Varadaraj. When he comes to you, his darshan never goes in vain. He'll bless you. He will bless you in something profound and something very supernaturally wonderful. He will not even ask you what you want sometimes. He'll just give it to you. And he reveals his 800 form. Again, unique, is not? 200? Yes. 400? Yeah. We know. 6? Shadabuja? Yes. 800? That is wonderful. Right? So everything the Lord does is uniquely wonderful. And he blessed this Brahman. So now it is still very private. But now the Lord is growing. He has now established himself as Digvijay Pandit. He is now the conqueror of even Keshav Kashmiri. He is no longer just a grammar teacher of a Tola. Tola means a school. Like the tutorial classes we have. Agrawals and Chate. You know, all this Bholas, Ghazi, right? So many classes are there in every place, right? So it was like that. Navadvip was full of these sort of tutorial classes. All the Bhattacharyas and Chakravartis and Mishras were owning these classes. And if you got a degree from those classes, you can go and not get a job, but you can be like, you can be qualified to get into any field. You know, it's such a prestigious thing to come from those. And now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nimai Pandit's scholarship was established, and anybody who came from his accredited course was the top. It was like Oxford or Yale, whatever you call it. That was the power he had established. But two challenges came now that he has to establish his mission in Navadvip. Twice the Lord publicly reveals some secrets. Now we're talking about a Channa avatar has to slowly get into the mood of starting to reveal things. He cannot remain Channa all the time. How would he do his mission if he kept everything Channa? Right? When the Lord has come, He's going to reveal. So two times He reveals. One is when He goes to Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, is that time part of India also. Now we call it Bangladesh, of course. East Bengal, that time. And He meets a very special Brahmin called Tapan Mishra. Now again here, Tapan Mishra is a person who is not an ordinary scholar who does this karma kanda type of pujas and all. He is a brilliant scholar of the scriptures. And after reading all that, what is his state of mind? Confusion. Confusion. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav. You can't get God by reading scripture. Not possible. So many have tried, but nobody could understand. In India, people have read scripture for millions of lifetimes. Who could understand? And bhakti is a process. They don't understand. At most, Indians reach the level of karma kanda. Bhakti remains very rare. So Tapan Mishra goes to the Lord. He gets a dream in previous night and said, a Brahman will come tomorrow. You can meet him and ask him your questions. So he has two powerful questions which any human being must ask in his lifetime. And even if we know the answer, we need to reinforce these answers all the time. What is the goal of life? And what is the means to achieve it? These two and no other third question is relevant inquiry in human form of life. Everything else is something which we may have need for worldly existence, but it's not truly what human life is meant for. The Lord reveals the goal of life is Prema Pumartho Mahan, love of Krishna. And the means to achieve it is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. For the first time, this Brahman, who is going to be the father of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, very special, so because he's going to recruit one person who is his son into his army. So he's not giving away just to nobody. The Lord only has all his special plans, right? And then when he comes back here, the Lord now is running a stola. He's already gone to Gaya. Like they call, you have a life-changing event in your life, right? Something happens in your life which changed your life forever. That life-changing event in Mahaprabhu's life is his visit to Gaya. Then, uske baad, Mahaprabhu, Gaya. He was no longer the same person. His arrogance, his stalwart stance of being the most powerful preacher who's just challenging anybody on the roads. He said, come on, debate with me. Come. You have power to debate with me. Come, sit down here. Right? He was like that. He would just catch hold of any Mishra Bhattacharya and said, come on. You think you are a great guy? Come on, sit with me. Right? And people are scared to even face him. If you see Mahaprabhu coming, they would go into a different gully, you know. So here is a man who would challenge us. He was so much in that power. He was not a small, tiny person like us. He was 7 foot tall. So he even had a physical form which was very imposingly powerful. And if he said to you, come, debate, you would practically swoon, you know, in unconscious. He was very powerful, very, very powerful. But now after going to Gaya, something happened. That arrogance was conspicuous by its absence. Right? He was always almost with folded hands now. His head was always bowed down. And his eyes were never dry. Pranay Ashrudharam.
He just sang that. His eyes were constantly moistened with constant flow of tears. He couldn't resist the inner explosions of Mahabhav volcanically coming out from his body. He just couldn't hold them. And he wanted to teach grammar. He couldn't teach grammar. He wanted to touch verbs. He said, verb means what? Verb means action. And action means there has to be a living soul. And the living soul comes from the supreme soul. That is Krishna. Right? So everything he had to connect to Krishna. It was just not possible to teach grammar in the normal way. Right? So in one sense, it was like spiritually, he was in a state of such a ecstatic mood that he couldn't connect to the material world. And yet he was so attractive because he's God, he's Krishna, he's so attractive. And people come to him, innocent people come to him and said, we want to experience what you are going through. I said, please come on, sit here. His students would come to him and said, I'll teach you. You're talking about Krishna all the time. What? How do we get Krishna? I'll tell you. And then he would start.
Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudana. Hey Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudana.
And pockets of people doing the same thing started happening in Navadvip. And this came to the notice of the then establishment of the Muslims. And became like a serious threat now. Now we are beginning to understand now that the Lord's mission is to establish Sankirtan in this world. And already he is going to face massive opposition because they have come down, they attacked the devotees, they beat them up, and they broke the Mrudanga. The beginning of the era of opposition in the material world to establish something very transcendental was first experienced in Mahaprabhu's presence. And it shows historically that wherever acharyas have tried to establish transcendental consciousness in this world, it was always never welcomed. There always has been a serious struggle, almost sometimes even blood shed. Of course, in Mahaprabhu's case, it was very special because it was a bloodless revolution. He's not going to use any more his chakra, which he had used to kill Shishupal, right? That won't be used, except he'd use it once. And he didn't even use it. He just invoked it. He didn't use it, right? It was going to be a bloodless revolution of consciousness. He is not going to kill anybody this time, which he had just few thousand years back, he had killed so many. He had killed, when Jarasandhan attacked, he had killed millions. Two people were there only, Krishna and Balram. They both are standing outside Mathura. And with bow and arrows, they were just slicing off the heads of millions of soldiers of Jarasandha. Just two people. Effortlessly. Just chopping off everybody's, like Parashuram did. Just killing everybody. And this particular avatar, very special, is that the Lord is not going to use the power of weapons. He's going to use a power far beyond weapons. Something even superior to weapons. Which will not even harm the body at all. But will destroy. It's like a guided missile. Which goes through your body, through your ears practically. Into your soul. And cuts off the seeds of sense gratification at its very root. Imagine the power of the holy name, a weapon which can go through your ears. It starts with the jivadav, swayama spruti, it starts with the tongue actually, not with the ears. Adasi Krishna namadi na bhavet garayam indriya sevan mokehi jivadav. So it starts with the tongue. Bhakti starts with one. Where does bhakti start from? Bhakti starts with the tongue. For most of us, it started with prasadam. Right? in his college started with prasadam. The tongue, and you chant, and then that power goes into our ears, and that's the weapon goes through the ears and goes deep within our consciousness, right? And there it starts cutting off, slicing off the roots of our entanglements. Like your entanglements, so many entanglements, knots created of material desires. It starts slicing off those desires. The first public encounter was with Chand Kazi. And now, to establish his mission, what does the Lord do? We must imagine something like happened during Indra Puja. When the Lord had lifted the Govardhan Hill, there was not rainfall. It wasn't a rainfall like the way, in a sense, we know what rainfall is when it's there over here. It was, each raindrop was the size of an elephant, right? Raindrop. When you say drop, it means tup. It's not like that tup. It is an elephant falling in the form of a raindrop. That's how big was a raindrop during the Samvartaka flooding. It was columns. Like a Niagara Fall. Like those who see Niagara Fall may know it. Right? Huge columns just coming down from the sky. Right? And here is a small child just effortlessly just so. He's not even aware that he has to balance it. He's not even conscious of the balancing factor. It's just happening automatically. The Lord created something similar and even more powerful. A rain, a tsunami from the sky. Not tsunami from the ground. A tsunami fell from the sky. A tsunami of love of God. We cannot imagine with our mundane brains, contaminated with material education, right? What is this leela of Chand Kazi? What is it to create a rainfall of love of God mean? What does it mean? When the Lord was dancing in Kirtan, Nityananda was dancing next to him. Sri Advaita was dancing next to him, right? And he was right in front, and millions. Now they say millions, but there were not million people living in Navadvipa at that time. It was a small village. Where did they come from? Whether you believe it or not, there were millions of people walking through the streets of Simulia, which is the Mathura of Navadvipa, where Chand Kazi stayed, who is the Kamsa of the times, previous times. Right? So the huge army now, each devotee is carrying not a chakra or a weapon or a something to hit somebody with. They're carrying a mashal, lighting up the whole sky. And now there is a debate. Now people are saying they kill the Kazi, right? The already little violence has already sort of started. When you're in big numbers, you gain power, right? When you're big numbers and you know there's a small number of soldiers there, you say, kill the Kazi. So the Kazi is like scared, right? One who had scared the devotees before is now himself scared, right? So it means that the Sangeeta movement is irresistible. When the Sangeeta movement starts with its full power, no power on earth can resist. This is what it really means. The irresistible force of Sankirtan is not resistible by any mundane power of this world, whether it's a KGB or anybody else. Nobody can resist this power. Right? Our movement got stiff opposition. The stiffest opposition was in Mumbai by Mr. Nair and Russia. But we can see anybody empowered by Mahaprabhu's power can destroy the most powerful establishment of the times. One old man can destroy the KGB. Does it make any sense? It makes no sense. But Prabhupada's five-day visit to Russia and meeting Ananda Shanti Prabhu, right? For those 3 days, Bhagavad Pravaha 3 days. all 12 cantos downloaded to one boy and he got this complete transformation of consciousness, and one spark let into the forest fire. It burned the entire Russian continent. And it is still burning. Right? That is the power of one empowered soldier of Lord Chaitanya. Who can imagine this? Who could ever imagine that this would ever happen? And that the communistic Raj would fall down. They were the superpower, superpower. What is superpower? Not power, superpower. But superpower means supreme power of the supreme personality of Godhead. Who can resist that? That is Prabhupada's power. Right? So still now, it is still closed indoors. And next opposition the Lord has now is how to get out of Navadvip. Why? Because there's a powerful bond of people who are holding him back. Who are they? His own dear associates who love him so much. It is difficult for us to imagine the love of Srivast Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. What is Narad Muni's love for Krishna? What is that love? Which made Narad Muni keep on singing Radhikaraman all the time on his veena. Narad Muni bajaye bina Radhikaraman naamne. What is Narad Muni's love for the Lord? That is the love of Thakur Srivas. Hare Krishna. How could that ever... Hare Krishna. Hari Bol. What is the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna? In beyond that. Can we even understand? Do we even know what this means? Do we know what are we talking about right now? We don't know what are we talking about. But we're talking about it still. Because we must talk about this. Right? But we don't know what it means. The love of Radha Krishna. What is the attachment of the sun and the sunshine? Inseparable. So that is the power which is holding Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. How can the Lord leave Gadadhar Pandit? What is Balram's love for Krishna? That is the love of Nityananda Prabhu for Lord Chaitanya. So with all these people around him, is it possible for the Lord to extricate himself and leave them? And if that is not enough, if this is not enough for the Lord to leave, and if this is not enough for the Lord, he has to somehow deal with the power of the love of Mother Yashoda. How is he going to ever have the power to deny and to somehow leave the loving embrace of his mother, who is a widow? And how can he leave his good angelic wife, Vishnupriya, who is only 14 years old? This is a... The sannyas is not the goal of Mahaprabhu's incarnation. The sannyas is a means to leave behind all the bonds of this world, to become completely free to disseminate love of God into this world. For that the Lord must have to take an ashram which has no bounds to this world. Again, this is a unique part of Mahaprabhu's leela.
In north of the millions of incarnations, the Lord has shown sannyas dharma. He's always shown brahmachari dharma, grihastha dharma, but he has never shown sannyas dharma at its topmost. Sannyas shiromani he is called. That every sannyas will have to follow this benchmarking of the Lord. Because all the Lord does is always the benchmarking. Nobody can supersede that. And therefore, when he talks about this to his gathering of devotees, that I came to there is a herb called as pipali mool. I came to give pipali, which reduces mucus. But the mucus is only increasing. And you don't understand what is he talking about, pipali. He could see that actually the opposition in Navadvip was increasing. And some people are there who are still going to escape the net of his mercy. Now we have to understand that the same person who creates the net of material energy, what is called as Maya Jal, Jal means net. That same person who creates Maya Jal, where everybody gets trapped, all 84 lakh species, millions and billions of jivatmas, including the demigods of the topmost level, everyone gets trapped in the Maya Jal of the Lord. Devi hi eshamai gunamai mamaya. He creates a jal which nobody can resist, nobody can escape. And the same person is going to create another jal, a network of his mercy. And he knows that he will make a jal which nobody will be able to resist or escape. Right? He'll create such a jal that everyone has to get trapped in this. And that is our hope. That's our only hope. Like your Newton's third law of motion, equal and opposite reaction. The same Lord who creates power to hold you back. Maya is the Lord Shakti, Maya Shakti. The same Lord actually creates another counter Shakti, which himself designs, which will extricate. That is the power to hold back, is now going to use the power to extricate the jivatmas out of this place. And you can say only the Lord can do that. Does any jivatma have the power to get out of this jal? Vishwamitra failed after 6,000 years, so that is full proof. That, you know, even if you do any amount of tapasya or whatever in the control of senses, if Vishwamitra failed, I mean, we can't even control our senses for a few, days, minutes, what is it, I don't know, seconds. We are hopelessly bad in that, on that front, right? So how are we going to have, how does Yodhma ever get Nistar? Nistar paye che keba. How? And therefore, the Lord creates another jal. And the jal has to be spread around. You take a jal, you just can't stay with the jal in one place. A fish net, the fisherman has to go into the ocean and spread wide. When you see, you go to a kund sometimes or river, they put a big jal which covers a large few acres of jal is there. And then they pull. So the Lord has the jal now, but he has to go out of Navadvip to throw the jal everywhere. And therefore he takes sannyas. And he's so eager, so restless, so desperate practically to give up love of God. So when he reaches the ashram of Keshav Bharati Maharaj, he said, I can't give sannyas. Reject. You're such a young boy, you're 24 years old, your wife is very young, she'll become a widow, your mother is already a widow. Widow in the sense, of course, civil death, right? And you are so beautiful, first of all. Sannyas is not meant for people like you who are beautiful. You know? That is a disqualification. You are too beautiful for that. And more than anything else, the people around in Kantak Nagar were like, there was a riot. I mean, riots are going on these days, you know, riots going on in India, right? But it's a spiritual riot. Keshav Bharati Maharaj, if you give sannyas to this boy, He will destroy your ashram and put it in the Ganga. You get it? Along with you. You dare not give sannyas to this young boy. Now what he is supposed to do? On one side is the powerful call of Mahaprabhu said, give me sannyas. You must give me sannyas. Death can come at any time. What will happen to me if I die? You must give me sannyas before I die. And the other side, the people are saying, you dare not touch him. And then Mahaprabhu starts a kirtan. Mukunda sing. Sing Hari Nam, Mukunda, sing Hari Nam. Mukunda has got his the Lord celestial singer. When he sings, something happens. There's a mesmerizing effect. And everyone's anger and anguish was contained. He created a cloud of love of God there. Everyone was peaceful. And then he summoned that barber, said, cut my hair. Cut my hair. Cut my hair. And the barber, he has cut thousands of people's hair by now. Everyone cuts their hair. Then when he's taking that astra, his hand is shaking like this. He said, I cannot cut your hair. Eh? What do you mean, cannot cut your hair? I cannot cut this hair. The each and every strand is so beautiful. And when he cuts it, ordinary people's hair, he just cuts it. I'm sure in 5 minutes he cuts it. Right? Nothing is there. All of us, I want for a haircut. Tuck, 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 goes, finished. But we must remember, we must understand from this simple leela, very powerful leela, that how every strand is of the hair is all attractive. Each strand is all attractive. And then all are put together is even more attractive. And the Mahaprabhu's body is even more attractive because he himself is all attractive. So all attractive hair sitting on the all attractive person. And this person is not able to handle the whole situation. His hand is shaking. How can he, with the hand shaking like a surgeon having a scalpel, you know, he cannot cut any organ, right? The hand is shaking. He said, Baba, you sit down, you know, you are an old man now. You cannot cut any, but you'll cut the wrong thing, right? It's what if he cuts his scalp or something, you know, my, I cannot cut your hair like this. Right? He cannot cut. He said, each strand is the epitome of beauty. And he knows what hair are like because you know, this is his profession. He knows what hair look like. Cannot cut it. The Lord empowered him. And as each strand of hair was falling from his scalp to the ground, the tumultuous uproar taking place. What is the meaning of this? They couldn't digest the fact that something so beautiful is being cut and will practically be sort of... What do you do with the hair? You just discard it. How can you cut this? How can you cut this? But the Lord is so fixed in his resolve. He's sitting like a statue, just waiting for the time for the hair to fall off from his scalp. Just waiting. And he inspires in the heart of Kesava Bharati Maharaj is Sanyas mantra also. He said, is it a good mantra? He said, this is a good mantra. He said, give it to me. He said, give it to the mantra. He said, your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And now the Lord has license. It's like a license, you know. I have the Sanyas danda. I have no more ties to this world. I can go anywhere. Everywhere, to anyone. And the first thing he gets the license to is that, now when I take sannyas, what will happen? See the Lord's power of his mercy. They will have to first of all bow down to me. You see a sannyasi, even now in ISKCON, Prabhupada said, even if you see Mayavadi sannyasi also, he must bow down. Otherwise, if you don't bow down, you should fast on that day. Mayavadi sannyasi also is supposed to bow down. Prabhupada's standards are very high. And the time of culture in India, now that time, people are all Bhattacharya and all, they know what is culture. They're cultured fellows. They will not be devotees, but they're cultured. So there can be a lot of cultured non-devotees. That's not a problem. that is there. Once they see a sannyasi, they have to bow down. And then when they bow down, love of God, diya. They bow down to him, mom, Namaskuru. Four things. What are that? Madmana bhavo, madbhakto, mandyaji mam. Namaskuru comes over here. Not even the fourth, only one thing you do. Namaskuru, love of God, diya. Katam. That's all. That's all you get love of God for. Just that humility of bowing down to what they think is a sannyasi. But he's not any sannyasi. He's the Lord himself. The fact that you bow down to him, you are eligible now to get Pancham Purushartha. And he bowl. And the Lord takes sannyas. And then he goes to Jagannath Puri. But the greatest power of his mercy was not shown in Navadvip. His greatest mercy was shown when he was in South Indian tour. Kaviraj Goswami says like that. But what he is doing, going to do now, is even more amazing than what he did in Navadvip. Right? He somehow bids farewell to Saranam Bhattacharya. We saw the drama yesterday. With great, there again he is pulled by Saranam Bhattacharya's love, bonds of love. Somehow the Lord is soft as a rose and hard as a thunderbolt, they say. The Lord did not care. Saranam Bhattacharya fell down unconscious and said, Hari Bol, someone will take care of you, but I have to go and take care of mine. He cannot resist himself on going to the roads. He starts walking through the roads. The first halt is at Alalnath. And Alalnath, the Lord Premaveshe, Kirtan Gaye, Premashru Kampa Shveda, right? He's so absorbed in love of God. And the first time, who sees this? Nityananda Prabhu has seen him dancing at the house of Sivas Thakur when he's not taking sannyas. But now when he sees Nityananda Prabhu for the first time, him dancing in public as a sannyasi, he knows. Then one can predict. This is going to happen in every Nagar Adigram. And he saw the impact of that dance of Alalnath. How people were attracted to the dance. And how he was transforming people's lives just by his dance. And Prabhupada writes that for our devotees, wherever they go, we encourage them to do Harinam, the dance on the streets. But they're empowered by the same thing. When Prabhupada came to Mumbai, Harinam party. Go to New York, Harinam. What did Prabhupada do? Harinam. Wherever they went, same like Mahaprabhu. Send people on Harinam Sankirtan party. And dance on the streets like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's our main thing. Our main weapon is Harinam Sankirtan. The Lord is going there, and now there's nothing less than what is called as a chain reaction. In radiology, we understand radioactive material is there. The Lord does three things. Either he will glance at you, or he will embrace you, or will tell you, induce you. Chant Hari Hari. Bolo. Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
No transformation, right? Because I am saying it. So no transformation takes place. Because the impure mouth coming. So no. But when the Lord said Hari Hari, if you reciprocated Hari Hari, you get love of God. And CC says, Sajidhan says that you become on that day, not that day, not that hour, at that moment, you turn into a Mahabhagavat. Mahabhagavat. What do you mean by Mahabhagavat? It is a very exalted position. Mahabhagavat. First Bhagavat, become a devotee. Mahabhagavat. Just by getting the Lord's glance or his alingana or hearing him chant Hari Hari, you become a Mahabhagavat. That's not enough. What happens then? You go mad. What happens to you? You become mad. Right? Aren't we all mad? Some extent we are, right? The more mad you become, the better in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada says, you have to become mad about something. somebody is mad after drugs, somebody mad after women, somebody mad after money, somebody have name some power. You become mad after God. Good. Madness is not bad, but after mad after whom? You're mad for God. So they become mad, intoxicated with madness of love of God. And that person would somehow manage to reach his village. right, where he came from. And what happens there? He is against in the same mood. He is chanting, he is dancing, he is singing. People, and he becomes a novel person in the village because nobody is doing that. People come to see him, right? And when they see him, what happens to them? They also become mad. They also get intoxicated, right? And this chain reaction of the Lord's power, his force, continues to the jivatmas endlessly. Wherever, therefore, he says, Yare dekhe tara kaha, kahe Krishna, kaha Krishna naam, imatta vaishnav kaila sabha nicha gram. This is what it means, right? Such an empowered person would request everyone and anyone, whomever he saw, to chant Hari Hari. In this way, they all also became devotees, right? So in this way, the Lord recruited, he was not doing these things alone. He wasn't going to do this alone. He was going to recruit, he recruited thousands of people into his fold of his army. And each devotee became an agent of the Lord's mercy. Right? The same thing the Lord could do, now imagine the power of Krishna, he can fit the same power into a jivatma also. You can have volumes of books in one pen drive. Correct? You can have how many gigabytes? I don't know what is all this stuff, right? This is beyond me. But you can have in a small pen drive, you can have volumes and volumes of gigabytes into one small thing. So the Lord is like a gigabyte. How much gigabyte do you know? You don't know. What is it beyond that terabyte? Right? A pentabyte. All that stuff of power, he can fit it into one jivatma. Right? And the jivatma becomes like him. And wherever they go, they become like him. So in this way, we can see people who are empowered, the acharyas, Thakur Dharmananda Das Thakur, love of God. Those are having this intoxicated of love of God. Wherever they went, they had the same impact like the Lord himself. Brother Nanda Das Thakur went and sang, he had the same impact. Srivas Acharya, same impact. Brother Goswamis went, they had the same impact. Right? Anybody who is touched by the Lord's grace, and that's the beauty of our parampara. In our parampara, all we must understand that Lord's associates are of three types. Those who came before him, Madanarpuri, Lakshmati Tirtha, Ishwarapuri. Those who came with him, his associates, his contemporaries, and those who come after him. After him includes our parampara acharyas, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Sanj Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and all the great acharyas of our ISKCON today. Right? All are the Lord's associates. One of them was identified. Jai Padak Maharaj. He was identified specifically. He's the Lord's associate. That's the proof that the Lord's associate who were there with him that time are going to come now also. Now, some identified by Prabhupada, some are not identified. But we should know with faith that they are emissaries of the Lord's grace and mercy. That's why they will do to someone so much of preaching. The Shakti is there, like a live wire. Wherever they touch, it becomes love of God. Right? And therefore, our mission is, what is our mission? What is our role? Right? Our mission is to simply, gratefully accept this mercy. We need to do only two things in our life. Only two things. What is that? In Mahaprabhu's devotees, we can see they do two things. They were strongly disconnected with material consciousness. Vishaya chodiya kobe chudabhiman, right? Prabhupada Maharaj was willing to relinquish his kingdom to get the mercy of the Lord. Ramananda Rai was relinquished his governorship of Madras to get the mercy of the Lord. Rupa Sanatan were able to give the home ministership and finance ministership for getting the mercy of the Lord. Raghunath Das Goswami was willing to give up his billionaire's inheritance to the mercy of the Lord. So we can see from these examples and many more, right, that they were willing to give up either physically or within the heart of consciousness anything which will attach them to this world. That means disconnecting from any desires to enjoy the things of this world. That is called as Vairagya Vidya. That is Vairagya Vidya. Right? I don't want anything of this world. I have had enough of this world, rather. That's the mood. I've had enough of this world. From Corona to Karuna. We all are absorbed in Corona consciousness nowadays, right? Wherever devotees meet, it is not Yaradekata Harika Krishna Upadesh ki jada, it is more about world events, we get caught up in all that. It's natural. But today and henceforth, if we were to get more absorbed in this Karuna Ras, how each devotee infected with Mahaprabhu's grace was infecting somebody else, infecting somebody else, infecting somebody else, infecting somebody else, and a chain reaction, right? And this way, what was just in Navadvip in 1896 went for the first time to the West. And Mahaprabhu's great Senapati came. He exponentially increased that Corona to such an extent. Right? Did you see that small picture of Prabhupada's typewriter, which is saying it is Corona typewriter? You saw, I'm sure you saw that. Right? From that Corona typewriter, Corona was emanating. Right? All the books which came out from that, how they're flooding the world, the same tsunami which Mahaprabhu created, these books are creating. They're being sent to all these places. Right? So first was Vairagya Vidya, where we make a resolve. We can be in a family life. Mahaprabhu told Kurma Brahman, you can be in family life. It's all right. You can be a Grihastha. If you're a Brahmachari, you be in your ashram. You're sannyasi. Perfect. Everything's all right. Don't worry. No problem. Wherever you're sannyasi, you can be wherever you want. Right? But at the same time, Nijabhakti Yogam. Nijabhakti Yogam has got three components. Attachment, we have three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, which are pulling us to this world. The three counter gunas, which three counter forces which are pulling us on opposite direction are three. Attachment to bhakta, attachment to bhagavan, attachment to bhakti. In Mahaprabhu's followers' case, we see the intense attachment to Bhagavan, the Lord, how they were intense attached to the bhakti. Right? Like Ghanshyam is saying that he, don't take away the bucket from me. This bucket for me is my life. If you take away the bucket from me, you're taking away my reason to live. Attachment to bhakti, that is attachment to bhakti. Right? Our acharyas think like that. Spiritual masters think like that. If I cannot do a devotional service, I have no right to live. That is attachment to bhakti. Attachment to Bhagavan. How can somebody stand in front of the Lord for so many hours and keep praying? Mahaprabhu standing in front of the Lord at Jagannath Puri. Now we may think that we are Tirupati Balaji, we are, you know, being sort of moved away in half a second, 2 seconds. But it's okay, now you sit here for 10 hours. 10 hours? You know, you are special, you are sitting for 10 hours, not 10 seconds, 10 hours you sit here. You don't wonder what I want to do for 10 hours, seeing the Lord. I don't have many prayers to offer. Mahaprabhu was doing this every day for 18 years. For hours you stand in front of the Lord. That is attachment to Bhagavan. And then attachment to the bhaktas. Right? So if we cultivate on one side Vairagya, which is negative, disconnecting from ourselves, from the desire to enjoy the things of this world, knowing that there's a futile effort. It doesn't really get you anywhere. Right? It is just chewing the chute, in Prahlad Maharaj's words. There's nothing new there. I've done it all, finished it. On the other side, positive side, I must increase my attachment to Bhagavan, the deities, the holy name, right? To bhaktas, and attachment to devotional service. That is a qualification to actually get the Lord's mercy. When the Lord sees that we are truly attached to these divine holy things, the Lord, the holy name and devotional service, the Lord's heart softens towards us. We cannot ask for love of God. It has to be awarded to us, given to us. Right? So just doing, attaching ourselves to these three beautiful things, the Lord, devotional service, and the holy names, under the guidance of the spiritual master, and serving this, his instructions in the mood of being the servant of the servant of the Lord's servant. We'll end with a small story. When Kanchipurna was fanning Varadaraj Bhagavan, having a chat with him like we are having chats among ourselves, speaking things on behalf of the village people, telling the Lord, oh, this Brahman said this today to me. He has this question for you. So he was in direct touch. He was conversing with the deity of Varadaraj. And then in his mind came this one thought. Everyone asking about when they will go back to Godhead. Should I also ask about myself? I said, you have a question, Kanchipurna. You have a question in your mind? Please ask. Said the Lord, with some hesitation was asking. Everyone asking about when they'll go back to Godhead. Can you please tell me when I will go back to Godhead? When I will? Said, you have no chance. Such a beautiful, sweet story. You are serving me. It's no good. Only those who saw my devotees, they will come back to me. The moment he hears that, he puts a fan down and rushes to the devotee's house to serve them. Such a sweet leela, but so profound. Right? Even if you're imperfect like that unput Brahman sitting in Srirangam, he's serving the Lord's instructions, Guru Maharaj's instruction. Right? So when the Lord sees his desire to serve, that means a desire to come back to our original intrinsic constitutional position. Jivar Swarup hoy. When the Lord sees that we want to come back, sincerely endeavoring to come back to that state of consciousness, of being the servant, when he sees that we are serving, doing devotional service, we're serving the deities, we're doing Harinam, we're doing everything which we're doing, but in this mood of wanting to come back to that state, praying for that, crying for that, begging for that, that I want to come back to that pristinely beautiful state of consciousness where I am just nothing else but the servant of your servants. When the Lord detects that consciousness, then the all attractive gets attracted to us. And you get blessed with love of God. So that is our desire. That is our aspiration. So today we will hanker for this. We'll pray for this. We'll beg for this. Right? We'll beg for what? This state of consciousness. The state of being. The state of existence. Where we can do all that we are doing in our life. Wherever we are. Whatever we are doing. But with this mood. With this attitude. Which will draw the Lord's unlimited grace. And when in that mood, when we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, then our journey to the kingdom of God is assured. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Gaur Purnima Mahamahotsav ki Gaur Premanandi.
And another one important thing, today's jewelries for Vrindavan Bihari Madan Mohan is chanting.
Hari Bol.
Mahaprabhu has been done by Jivananda Prabhu.
Hari Bol. Hari Bol.
Jai Shri Radhe.
Prabhupada ki
jai.
Thank you.